I, by the finger of God, cast out devils. And when a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One time there was a woman who was walking to a place, and she used the church as a cut-through. She simply was going to, instead of going around the entire block, had decided to go through one of the open doors on one side and exit on the other side to shorten her route. However, she didn't realize that there was an event taking place at the church. And when she entered in there, she found herself surrounded by a crowd of people who had come to gather for some sort of public ceremony that was taking place. The woman hadn't darkened the door of a church in a very long time, and so she had no idea what it could possibly be. But seeing all the people and realizing it would be extremely awkward for her to walk out the other side when so many were walking their way into the church, out of respect, she simply just sat down in one of the pews and decided to see what was to take place. What she didn't realize was that it was Lent, and the custom at the church there was that the priest, during Lent, he would give extra sermons, little instructions for the people to help them to have pious thoughts through the Lenten season. And so out came the priest, and he went into the pulpit, and he began to preach his sermon. And his sermon was about the sacrament of confession. And as he spoke about it, he told them that there is nobody who is beyond the mercy of God. Mercy awaits for every sinner, provided that he repents. And as the woman listened to the sermon on the sacrament of penance, her soul was touched. And she went to the priest afterwards, very timidly, because she had been away from the church for so long. And moreover, she knew she had been living a lifestyle for over 15 years that was a regular committer of some of the most serious crimes. And so she went and very timidly pulled on the elbow of the priest's garment. The priest, stopping, looked at her, and she shyly said to him, "Is it true, Father, what you said, that there is mercy that awaits every sinner?" And the priest said, "Yes, if the sinner confesses and he has a purpose of amendment, then yes, there is." And then she said, "Father, I have been a long time away from the sacraments, living in sin. Could I find that same mercy?" And he said, "Absolutely. When, Father? How about right now?" And so he brought her over to the confessional and told her, "Kneel down here. I will go and get myself prepared and be right back." He went and got a surface and stole and returned back to the confessional and sat down and heard the woman's life of sins. She confessed them with true repentance, and she had now, unloading herself, a desire for amendment of life. But there was a problem. Where she lived was itself an occasion of sin, and so she couldn't return there, having just confessed these sins. The priest looked at the hour and realized it was late in the evening, and he told her that there's nothing to be done right now. So, by special permission, she was allowed to stay the night in the church. The next morning, the priest came to open up the church and to figure out a way to find her a new place to stay. And when he came in, he found the woman dead, laying prostrate before the altar of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She had been there through the night praying. There were tears that soaked the ground, and she had passed away right into the arms of mercy that was promised her. The sacrament of penance. We continue on with our series of instructions on the seven sacraments today. And Lent is the perfect time to talk about the sacrament of penance. In part, because we do additional penance during this season, which is for the very fact that we are sorry for our sins, to make reparation for them, and also in part to strengthen our souls, to be able to better fight against future temptations. This sacrament, this all-important sacrament of penance, it is truly for both of those purposes, to take away our sins and to strengthen us by sacramental graces to fight against future temptations that come. So as a sacrament, as we always talk about, what are the necessary aspects to it? The matter. What is the essential matter for a good confession? Sins are actually the essential matter of the sacrament of penance. The very nature of that sacrament is one of forgiveness, and therefore it is impossible to forgive where there is no sin that has taken place. So it is essential that sins be confessed during each and every confession. Now, what is required of the penitent to confess? Every person is required to confess all of their mortal sins in their life, up until that point, from the start of when they have begun to sin until that point in time, or in between each subsequent confession, in that duration of time in between them. Every and all mortal sins must be confessed. They must be confessed as well in type, meaning that you have to say the type of sin that has taken place, and in number, to the best of your ability, enumerating the sins that you have committed. Now, what may be confessed are venial sins. It is not absolutely necessary. There are other means to be forgiven from venial sins. However, it is a good practice, especially if we have been able to successfully conquer habitually falling into mortal sin, to regularly confess venial sins too. Because these things, while not absolutely necessary to be confessed, are good to be recognized by ourselves, to accuse ourselves of these failings in our life, because we see in those things where our faults lie, where our proclivity to sin is, where we need to work on. And moreover, as we say again, those sacramental graces that come from every good reception of the sacrament of penance strengthen our souls so that we may continue to grow and move forward and be stronger against future temptations. Now, what is not to be confessed are stories or long explanations or justifications or anything extraneous and unnecessary to be confessed. A confessional is not where we try to explain or justify ourselves. A confessional is where we accuse ourselves. We do not accuse others, merely our own wrong in what we have done. And so therefore it is best to simply make a list, whether mental or, if necessary, even on paper, and then simply read down the list of the sins we have committed. What is necessary for a sin to be mortal? If we need to know that we have to confess all mortal sins, then it's essential that we know what makes a sin mortal. There are three essential things for a sin to be a mortal sin. First, it must be grave matter, that is, serious violation against one of the Ten Commandments. Secondarily, we must have full knowledge that such an action, while taking place, is indeed sinful. And thirdly, we must have full consent of the will, that it is an action which we have chosen to take by our own free will to act. To simplify, it must be seriously wrong, we must know it's wrong, and still do it anyways. Now, in confession, if the matter is sin, we know that there is also an essential form for the sacrament. What is this form? The form is the words of the absolution given by the minister of the sacrament, who is an ordained priest. And those essential words of the form are, "I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." The intention of the sacrament, all three things necessary, matter, form, and intention, the intention of the sacrament of penance is obviously, in the place of the priest, the forgiveness of the sins. That is what he intends to do, forgive sins. The intention on the recipient's part is to be forgiven. But there are additional aspects to that desire for forgiveness that also must be present in making a good confession. First off, is that there has to be contrition for sin, or sorrow for sin, that there must be some level of detestation of the sin itself. And secondarily, there must be an amendment not to sin again. Now, these two points can oftentimes be a bit confusing or sticky, can even lead a person to feel that they perhaps it is not possible for them to make a good confession. So I want to explain it a little more. It's actually more simple than you think. There are two types of contrition. There is imperfect contrition, and there is perfect contrition. For the sacrament of penance, all that is necessary is an imperfect contrition. That you are sorry for your sins to some degree, not to the most perfect degree of sorrow, but a simple sorrow for having committed a sin. And that may be motivated by lesser purposes. It may be motivated, as long as those purposes are supernatural. Perhaps it is that you fear punishment for the sins. You fear the losing your soul to hell. You fear the punishment of purgatory. This is imperfect because it comes from a place of fear, as well as the punishment of the loss of heaven, losing out on eternal paradise. These types of things, they are imperfect contrition because they are based in fear. Yet God accepts them in the sacrament of penance. They are sufficient. And it need not even be an emotional one. It is a willful contrition. That means that we don't have to feel sorry for it. We just have to be sorry for it. And it could be even that our contrition is very weak, but is still present. That is all God asks of us, to make a good confession in regards to contrition. Now, it need be mentioned what perfect contrition is. Perfect contrition is not based in fear at all. Perfect contrition finds its foundation in love. And therefore, the contrition of a perfectly contrite person is one that he is sorry for sin merely because it has offended God himself. And with that, he detests sin, has a true detestation of sin. Again, not an emotional one, but a true desire not to have sinned and not to sin again. And it is this perfect act of contrition that we should regularly try to formulate ourselves. Each night, when you should examine your conscience. Each night, you should recite the act of contrition. Each night, you should try to focus on having that, developing that perfect contrition in your heart. Because, in an instance, if we perhaps were to fall into mortal sin, and we were not to have the ability to get to confession for a while, it is possible to regain sanctifying grace through a perfect act of contrition. Now, because we cannot know if we are successful in truly having perfect acts of contrition, then it is absolutely still necessary to confess those mortal sins before we ever approach the communion rail. However, in regards to expressing to God our sorrow for our sin, to regaining sanctifying grace, to finding the ability to love God again and strengthen ourselves so that we can be able to resist future temptations in that time frame before we get to confession again, that perfect act of contrition is a possibility to do just that for us. And finally, is the point of amendment. This too can be a bit confusing. The intention to avoid sin in the future. Sometimes people can find themselves wondering if they have actual amendment in their life. How can they be successful in having this amendment of life if they know that they are weak and that it is possible that they may fall into sin again, and perhaps even not in a long time afterwards? This is particularly prevalent for people who struggle with what we would call habitual sins. And yet, it is not this perfect amendment that is desired, that is necessary for a good confession. It is simply that we know that we will try to do what we can to fight against sin and temptation in the future. That upon leaving that confessional, we have the resolve, no matter how weak it may be, that we are going to try to fight temptation when it comes to us. It is not based on future success. Is based on the intent to strive for success. And with habitual sin, it is, in fact, regular good confessions that are part of the remedy in overcoming those bad habits. It is part of what strengthens us over time. We repeatedly come, restore sanctifying grace, which we know causes strength in our souls, gain sacramental grace, which further sanctifies us and strengthens us, and renew to God our desire to continue to work and try to be more perfect. And so God helps us again and again, and confession is a means to that end, that one day we may eventually conquer those habits. A good confession is a powerful medicine for our souls. It heals us when we fall. It revives us if our fall be a mortal one. It strengthens us against future dangers. It allows us to recognize our own areas of weakness, which we must work upon. It allows us to fall down on our knees and humble ourselves in confessing, only so that we may rise up and have our souls be stronger and nearer to God for it. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.